Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. With me is Lester Singh. And if you're listening on iTunes, bounce over to AdonisIndex.com. He came in fourth place in AT8. I can't believe we're on to the eighth contest already. Yeah, your after pictures look good, dude. Are you, first question, are you planning on submitting again at the 20-week mark? I can't really imagine how much further you want to go here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the main goal was the 20. I really didn't think it was really going to turn out that great for the 12-week because I did a little bit of experimentation where, you know, I switched up some of the Adonis workouts with, like, some of my own to build on certain things that I thought I needed help with from the last contest when I entered the AT7.
No, look, I mean, yeah, it worked out really well. So are you going to still submit or no?
I will be submitting. You know, just I'm aiming for that top spot. Hopefully, like, my plan will fall through. I'm trying to cut down a bit more body fat and show more striations on the back because I think that's, like, my main strong point right there. And that's what I've really been working on.
Yeah, so just climb the ladder, right? Just keep going up.
Exactly.
No, that's a good idea. Okay, so let's get into a bit of we were just talking about it before we started recording. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your history with training? And you said you got pretty big there for a while there. So give us the brief, like the notes on how you got all the way up to starting with us.
Let's see. In a nutshell, you know, high school track star, low body fat, you know, constantly being lean. Got out of high school, stopped doing sports, gained some weight. By the time I was 22, 23, reached a high point where I was probably about 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty short, so that's actually a lot of weight. 5'4".
5'4 at 180, that's pretty big.
Yeah, so eventually I started trying to cut down, you know, like there was a point in my life where I started noticing, like, wow. I was looking at photos and I was like thinking I'm getting way too big and I gotta really do something. So about 3 years back, I think I was about 27 years old, I hopped into the P90X thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I cut down a little bit, didn't focus much on diet. I probably dropped to about 155 and I thought I looked good at that point too. And so I stayed consistent at about 155. When I turned 29, which was like last, about a year and a half ago or whatnot, you know, I started making a goal for myself to see if I could hit my goal weight, my weight when I was 21, which was 140 pounds. So I started doing stuff here and there and hitting up the gym, but no exact plan or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I dropped down to 139. So I was a pound less than when I was 21 years old. So I hit goal, but I still wasn't happy with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
how'd you do that? Just
going to the gym and trying to not really focus too much on diet still, but like trying to stay more consistent and being out there and actually being dedicated to it and not just, just coming in there with and just hopping into different machines. You know, I was trying to make a little bit of focus, but not totally focused. So I wasn't writing down anything, so I wasn't really keeping track.
So were you doing P90X at this point, like a cross training style?
No, not anymore. I stopped the P90 and I just started hitting up the gym at that point.
So you were basically freestyling it, doing your own thing.
Yeah, freestyling and doing my own thing.
So you hang on. So wait a minute. You get all the way back to 140, 139, you're 20, when you were 20, 22 years old. How did you get all the way up to 180? Was that?
Well, I have three kids, and every single time one of the kids came out, you know, I just started eating more. Every time the wife wanted some food, you know, I'd end up eating hers because she, you know, she thinks she could eat more than she can. Uh-huh. And so that's pretty much it. And then just work was pretty comfortable. And I do a lot of sitting around at my job, so eventually it just started adding up.
Right, it was a combination, a lot more food, a lot less activity, and so you weren't actively trying to bulk up or anything, it just sort of happened.
No, it just sort of happened. I mean, even at that point, you know, like when I was getting big, I felt big. I mean, I can still see some muscles coming out of my arms, and, you know, with a shirt on, I look pretty huge. But like, you know, when you get home and you take the shirt off and you look in the mirror, you're like, oh man,
yeah,
what am I looking at here?
yeah, you better keep the shirt on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so sorry, I just had to backtrack there to because I kind of didn't I needed a little bit more information on how you got that heavy in the first place. So you're all the way back down to 139, but you don't like the way it looks.
Yeah, I still wasn't pleased with it. I mean, I was taking photos, you know, I thought it looked good, and I reached a point where I was thinking, like, you know, I don't think I'd ever get a chance to see my abs again. And then, you know, it's one of those, like, slow days of work, and I'm browsing around online, and one of you guys' advertisements popped up. This was, like, last December. This last December. Saw an advertisement about, you know, your Adonis index score and whatnot. So I inputted my numbers in there. I was like, oh, you know, 1.49, that ain't too bad. It ain't that far off, you know. Maybe I could try something like this. And so I brushed it off at that moment because I was at work. And then eventually I was like browsing again online on my phone when I was at home and came across the Adonis index again. And so this time, like, I think it was a time frame when you guys had a deal on it, and it was a pretty low price. Forgot exactly how much I paid to get the 3.0 program, but I ended up hopping on that, and then the AT7 contest was about to start soon. So I was like, all right, cool, you know, new goal, new plan, and see if you could actually follow. I mean, like, I was able to follow P90 to the T, so I was like, maybe I could follow this. And so I started getting on the program. I got into the community. Didn't really say much. You know, I'm more of like a Googler and try to find answers for myself. So every question that I had, I type it in the search function, and I'll find out what people are saying about it. And I'm like, okay, so that's how it is. Started learning about ESE, you know, and like intermittent fasting. So I started reading up on that. I'm not about lean gains also. Started reading up on that. So I started doing like a little bit of testing between both and which one would work for me. And for the most part, now I do a hybrid of both. Like, I do more of a 16-hour fast, 8-hour window than, like, on special events. Like, you know, if I'm expecting a party coming up on the weekend, I would do ESE type where I would fast all day and save all the calories for the nighttime event. Or if I don't end up doing that, I'll do it the day after.
Right.
And that worked out, like, really, really well to really keep track and stay low on my calories that I need.
Did you find that like relatively smooth going? Like once you implement it, you're like, hey, this ain't too bad. Like it's no big. Like I don't want to say no big deal, but kind of relatively seamless.
No, it was a pretty tough transition. I mean, you know, coming from home, reading about stuff where they tell you to eat every 3 hours or whatnot, you know, it was a hard transition for me, you know. First I had to really like, all right, just believe in this, everyone's saying it works. You know, there's so many facts out there. And I would have to say the first 2 weeks was the biggest struggle. The first 2 weeks of trying to transition from like eating every three to eating twice or three times a day in a certain time frame window. That was pretty tough. But once I got through that first 2 weeks and my body got used to it, then like it was pretty much smooth sailing from there. Never had any issues with it. And ESE was even easier. For some reason, like, you know, just doing it once or twice a week wasn't a big thing for me.
Right.
But I have to take that stepping stool from, you know, every 3 hours to lean gains to ESE. And I don't think I could have just jumped straight on from you know, eating every 3 hours to once a day.
Yeah, so and that makes sense. So you said it took a while for your body to adjust. So the going from the body, essentially the bodybuilding lifestyle, right? That they're eating constantly, that took some time. That, you know, I never thought of it that way, of weaning people off of that versus just jumping right off of it. That you noticed it more like it actually happened, not a psychological. Was it a psychological transition, or was it mostly just, oh man, you're in the habit of eating, you're like, oh, I normally eat right now? Or was it like, did you feel like you're prepared, like your body's like, hey, feed me? Or was it a psychological thing, like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, the psychological part, because, you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, I always hear, you know, when you start reading into bodybuilding stuff, is eat every 3 hours, you know, get your protein in or whatnot. And then, like, the physical part, you know, just my body getting used to it, you know. When that first 2 weeks, you know, when my body constantly is supposed to be eating after that 3 hour mark, I'll be hungry. My body is asking for food. And so, you know, I just have to fight that urge to not do it. And then, you know, after a while, you know, it got used to it to where, you know, it just, you know, I eat on the toppings that I need to eat.
So it's just, yeah, it's just a process. I never even considered it that way, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like I've had some friends that I've had them try it, and I keep telling them, you know, you got to give it some time because if your body is used to a certain way of eating, you know, it's going to try to fight the new way until, like, you eventually train it to function to the new way you're trying to eat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I have one friend that's actually able to do it now, and, you know, it took him about a week and a half to get used to it. But every other people that I've told about it, you know, they just, you know, they try it for a day. They're like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm going to die if I didn't eat. So they stop doing it.
And that's the issue. You got to get over that hump. It's how long did it take you? A couple weeks or?
2 weeks. 2 weeks on the dot, and I was fine.
Right. So you gotta. So for anyone doing this, you'd say that they better have the patience. Like just
yeah.
ride it out for a couple weeks. You'll get there. But in the first
exactly.
week, you could totally believe it's wrong because it does take some time to adjust.
Exactly. Exactly. You people just gotta really just try it out. I mean, see if it's something, you know, for you. And, you know, you got to give your body a chance to acclimate to the new way of eating and as long as for it to really work.
Mm-hmm. And there's layers to that. I know that physiologically it takes up to 6 to 7 days for your body to get used to burning whatever kind of food you're eating. But it also, there's an expectation of when you want to eat, and it takes probably up to 2 weeks to develop a new habit. Of just an expectation of like, oh, I've been waking up at a certain hour. Now my body's getting used to waking up, kind of like that. But it's
yeah.
if you get used to eating at a certain time, it takes a couple of weeks to get out of the old eating timing habit to a new eating timing habit. And then layered on top of that, if you change at all what you're eating, it takes a couple
mm-hmm.
weeks for you to get used to the palate, like the way – the type of food you're ingesting to get used to, like, the flavor, the taste, all that kind of stuff. So there's layers of adjustment, and if you shake it all up at once, I could see a bunch of people like, well, this is impossible, and they don't give it enough time to adjust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I never even really thought of it that way until you brought it up, and, you know, I learned it from my own experience that that's how my body processed, you know. I have to give it some time and just, like, let it do its thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, when you look back, you're like, well, it only took 2 weeks. Which doesn't sound like
mm-hmm.
much, but when you're in the middle of it, you're like, oh my God, I've got 13 more days of this, like at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty grueling in the first week. The first week was the hardest, you know. You're just sitting there, like, starving, and I'm like, just fight it. There's just fat leaving your body. That's why I was hungry, you know. I was trying to just do some mental things, try to psych myself into it.
Yeah. And the funny thing there is that it's probably only been a couple hours since you've eaten, like, whatever. Instead of eating every three,
yep.
you're eating, what, every five, six? It's, like, not even a big deal. It's such a
yep.
such a trick, like, such a psychological trick.
Yeah, and one thing I can say is much more filling, too, because eating, let's say, like, two ginormous meals compared to six small ones, and it's so much easier to track calories that way, and then, you know, you feel good about it. Like, wow, I ate all this food, and, you know, eventually you start to think like, wow, I think I ate too much. But in reality, you ate a lot less,
yeah.
you know, between those two meals and like the six small ones that you added up all together.
Oh, it's super nice to sit down at the end of the day, do a big meal and be like, oh man, and this is all still within my calorie budget. It almost sometimes doesn't feel like it's right.
Yeah. That's why sometimes, like, you know, when I'm doing EFC and I'm going to, like, you know, like a birthday party, like a family event, and I'm eating like a cow, and people were wondering, like, oh, wow, I thought you was on a diet. I was like, yeah, I am, you know, but I could eat.
yeah, it's...
You don't know what I was doing, like, you know, earlier in the day that I'd eat anything the whole day, but, like, no one needs to know that.
Oh, yeah, on that note, did you keep it covert? Or, like, what'd you do about, like, involving other people?
My wife was aware of my process, you know, the stuff that I was doing, but for the most part, I kept it to myself, you know. I try to just keep it to myself because, I mean, only times that I actually ever bring it up is people ask, and And I would never just go up to, like, anybody and be like, hey, you should do this and that. But if they ask me, you know, I'll tell them. If they listen, they listen. If they don't, then just on them.
Yeah. So you never were really all that concerned about how other people reacted.
No.
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 And then okay, so then let's let so your after pictures are pretty good. What do you think of like where you arrived at?
Where I arrived at,
Yeah.
well, I don't have any access to DEXA scan, so I don't exactly know what my body fat percentage is,
Yeah.
but I do have one of those AccuMeasure side pincher things. I don't know how accurate that thing is, but it was saying I'm sitting at about 9,
Yeah.
so I'm thinking it's probably a little bit higher because looking at like photos from like let's say like Simon, and that guy is super ripped, and that's the lean like I want to reach for. The 20-week mark, and I think I can do it if I just, stay consistent with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Are you happy so far where you got to?
Oh yeah, I'm very happy. I mean, like I said, from 18-7, I followed 3.0 completely because I wanted to focus on, the major muscles that we were focusing on, which is the shoulders and shrinking down the waist.
Yeah.
ATA. I noticed my shoulders, it's not really shrinking much, even though I'm losing weight. So I know I've built up enough muscles up there. And so I started focusing more on other parts of my body that I thought would need more help. Like I have I do like crazy amount of pull-ups, weighted ones, whatnot. And so I wanted to really highlight my back, work on that taper, like as much as I can.
Yep.
So I did a lot more focus on that section, but, yeah, I kept track of everything this time around, how much weight I was pushing compared to the previous week, and I was constantly, moving everything up just to show that I'm progressing and I'm not like stalling back.
Yeah, no, I think your proportions are pretty good. I think you just move forward at this point. Like I'm looking at your back double bicep pose really good actually. You hit that one like right on the button. And it
Thank you.
really shows off your taper and your shoulder mass is good. It's all kind of right there. And I mean, how much do you weigh in these after pictures?
126.
Yeah, you just look so much. I always the default response is, well, you look bigger than that. But then, what makes me think I know what 126 is supposed to look like? This is a good look.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's funny you brought that up because, before the contest started, I came over to visit my mom, and I was wearing sleeping clothes, so it was like a little bit big, and she told me like, wow. You look like you're getting sick, you're getting like so small. I was like, what are you talking about, And then I ended up going to the gym that day, the very same day. I went to the gym that day, and I was just wearing a tank top and some shorts. And the dude was like, hey, how much do you weigh? I was like, try to guess. It was like at least 155, 160. I was like, no, man. I'm like, I think I was about 130 at that point. I was like 130 pounds. And it was like, wow, it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, I think yeah. Well, I mean, we just had the Olympics. I think that should lay to rest the concept that body weight matters. After looking at the men's gymnasts, there none of them weigh as much as people think.
Exactly. And those guys look huge.
Yeah. Well, it's the illusion of size, right? The leaner you are, the bigger you look. It's just, I don't until someone gets there themselves, I don't think they'll ever understand how big of a illusion that actually is, like the leanness versus size. Like it's just, like you said, you've been 180. You probably wait. I mean, what do you think of your 126 look versus your 180 look?
Not in day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. And a 180 at your height's massive. Like, you know, me and Pilon are in the 180s, and we're, you know, we're I'm 6 feet tall. So it's just not. It's just, you know, at your height, this is, you know, somewhere around here is how you're gonna, this is supposed to look this way. Like, this is how it's supposed to look.
Yeah, my final goal is to, I mean, it's probably going to take some time, I'm trying to build it like the leanest and slowest possible without gaining, much fat, is to get into like 135, 140 range and see if I could do that naturally. And, I was looking at some online calculators or whatnot, and it's saying for my size, my height, for, maximum, with a I'll say 8 knots per body fat would be about 144. So it's going to take some years, but that's the final goal. Now, I have little stepping stools, but aiming for that, you know, I'll see if I can get up there. And I think that would just look ridiculous.
Oh, it would. It would. And, you know, you got to remember some of that mass will be in your legs, right? Some of that weight. Like
yeah,
50,
yeah.
What is it, 50, between 50 and 55% of all your muscle mass is in your legs. So it's that number's leg dependent too, right? Like maximizing both your upper and lower body.
Yep. That's why, like I said, for this contest, I did a hybrid of like, you know, I picked out some workouts from the 3.0 and the weight range from I just picked out the weight ranges that I wanted and the reps. And I kind of created my own like little side program to focus on my legs more. So I'm doing a lot more squats than deadlifts, just to add more mass down there.
Yep. Oh yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, and that's part of the way you go. You got to stop, evaluate your physique, and then decide where you want to make some improvements. And that's it. I'll tell you if that. I mean, you look pretty balanced to me. From here on in, I would just move forward in a more of a balanced fashion, so to speak.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the point. And don't you dare do the 180 pounds thing again.
Oh, no, never that. I have this digital picture frame sitting in like, you know, the front of the house. So I wouldn't get inside. And I have old photos there. And every time I walk by, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm looking at my pictures and I'm like,
oh,
look like I ate me.
Oh yeah. Oh, you mean your preview? All right. That's good. That's actually a good little reminder.
Yeah. Every time I walk by it and it's turned on, I'm like, man, you know, I gotta go change these photos out and put some more updated ones and stuff.
You should do one where it scrolls between like all the different looks all the way to this one.
There you go. That's a good idea right there.
Good. Don't they have ones where it's like it just sets it up like and it just rolls through pictures? That would be pretty cool.
I got it on random right now, but I could switch it up to where it just continuously goes from like, you know, left to right. So it's a good idea right there. I'm about to go do that today.
And then it ends on the your latest pictures right here. That'd be great. All right. So, I mean, we got some good information here, especially the part about getting your body to adjust. And, I mean, obviously the illusion of size. I mean, did you know? I mean, you must have known. Or did you think you'd be this light? Did you care how heavy you were?
When I first hit the 130 range, I thought I was, you know, a part of me was like holding back. Like, how many do you could really get any more higher than that? Are you going to start losing, like, more lean mass to do this? Then, like, I just thought, yeah, man, it's still not the look you want, you know. I constantly bounce through, like, the forum, and I'm seeing, like, guys super ripped, and I want to reach that point. And I was like, well, real talk, like, halfway through the contest, I stopped tracking my weight, and I just started looking at the mirror. And I didn't even know I dropped down to 126 till, like, you know, before the photo shoot, you know, I hopped in the scale. I was like, oh, shit, you know, this is where I'm at. Cool. Slap that on, and I compared it to my last numbers from AT7. I was like, okay, 3 pounds lighter. I'm comparing the picture side by side. I look leaner, but I look bigger at the same time. Like, you can see more like muscle mass on me, but I'm lighter. So it was kind of a trippy thing.
Yeah, well, and that's why weight eventually can't tell you much.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that was to your benefit to not know your weight? You think you would have psyched yourself out and maybe not pushed it as hard?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I stopped hopping into the scale. Was like, you know, I don't want to get stuck at thinking, wow, I'm so light in this. But now that I know that I was at 126 at that point, I'm like, don't even really care about the weight anymore. As long as I look good when I look at myself.
That's important. That's important that you stop because you may have given up. Not given up, but you may have not gotten all the way there to this condition. And now you don't care. So it's... That's a good lesson for people to learn is not if the weight's messing with your head, just don't even bother anymore. Like it's just not
gonna, exactly.
It's not gonna help. The mirror's what matters, right? Like it's You don't wear a weight around. You don't. It just has nothing to do with it.
That's so true.
Yeah, it's hard. It's always gonna be in the back of our minds. it's been drilled into us for so long, it's I don't think we can get rid of it as much as we literally have to learn to ignore it.
Yeah, if you really think about it, when people start, you know, getting in their little diet, trying to lose weight, the very first thing people will hop on is the scale.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, realistically, in the beginning phase, it's a good tool just to see how much you're tracking, but there's going to reach a point where that thing means nothing anymore. And, like, you know, you've got to see how happy you look when you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, and like you just said, you compared your final picks last time to this time, and the weight can't tell you the fact that you did some recomposition and built some muscle. So it offsets,
mm-hmm.
it throws off those numbers, right? Like you and I,
yeah.
you can look 10 different ways at the same body weight, you know, depending
yeah,
on what
exactly.
it is that makes up that weight. It could be after a 24-hour fast. It could be after a huge meal. It could be emaciated with no muscle mass. It could be your maximum muscle mass. There's so many different things that can contribute to a given body weight. It's really hard for that weight to mean anything.
There you go. Got it on point right there.
All right. Well, let's close this one up here with your advice to everybody listening as far as, you know, wanting to get in shape.
Well, I guess one thing I could say is just consistency and dedication, you know, from the gate. You know, if you really want it, you got to stay consistent at it. You know, changes are not going to happen super fast. It's a pretty slow process. So, you know, keep track of your progress. Take photos. Take lots of photos. And you know, you start, you know, putting them side by side and you start to see, like, the little changes here and there, whether it's, like, you know, a little bit less body fat on one section, because it's not always going to come out all at once. So just be consistent, and if you really want it hard enough, you know, you'll eventually get there. It just takes time and patience.
Yeah, man. I couldn't say it any better. Do you have anything else? Do you want to leave it at that?
Let me see, what else can I say? For those people who say, you know, there's not enough time in a day, you know, going to the gym 3-4 times a week for an hour, that's 4 hours of your time. That's 4 television shows you're going to miss. So, you know, stop making excuses. Just go out there and do it.
All right. Good enough. Let's leave it at that. All right, man. So that was great. So for Lester Singh, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.